This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ready on the mobile.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. All the boys are back together this morning. Good morning, B. Mitch. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
Oh, man. There's plenty for us to discuss, dude. We got a busy show. Ben Standing is going to join us in about a half hour. Fred Smoot coming up at 11. Jeffrey Chadia is going to join us at noon. We're going to open the phone lines up in the afternoon. Busy, busy show. We got a lot of football. The headline, though, starts with last night at the Caps game. I was in the building. It was awesome for Ovi. It was really, really cool. But, dude, I believe I brought one of these in. Maybe I didn't. They're giving away these dope. Yeah, I got it. So the giveaway was these towels, the celebration for Ovi.
Uh-huh.
How cool is that?
I like that.
All right, I'll show it to the YouTube stream in case somebody didn't get to see it. So I wanted to start by, I am willing to hang this up in this room because it's awesome. However, we need some level of commitment that the heathens around this place won't take it.
Well, you know nobody from the show going to take it.
I think it's
them fools that come in here when we're not around.
Right. I think we can hang this up in here. What do you think?
Yeah.
Now, I may write B. Mitch and Finley on it. Like in a marker on the back. And then if it does appear somewhere else sometime, those people know they will face our wrath.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the towel is very, very cool.
We're going to lay hands on them, and we're not talking about it in a Christian way.
Yeah, no. But, dude, the.
I didn't see the final. It was 0-2 at one point.
Right. So that's what I wanted to get to. The record is awesome. Ovi has broken it. He is the goal king. They have this thrown up that said great chase, and now it says goal king, which is just so damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, it's time to start playing hockey again. Carberry said it. I had an interview with Leontsis yesterday. He said it.
Yeah, they won that game, dog.
They came back to win.
Yes.
But it's 2-0 early. They get a goal right before the end of intermission. Then they have an excellent, excellent second period. The second period was like, all right, the Caps remembered who they are. They're playing really good hockey. And then the Canes get one late. Where they pulled the goalie. They were able to get one. Washington got the win. It was a very needed win. They lock up the number one seed in the East. I don't know. There was a big game last night between Montreal and Ottawa that could have a real impact on who the Caps will play in the first round. One thing I've heard, and I don't know enough about this, B, but it kind of tracked for me. All right, so apparently Montreal plays Ottawa tonight. That's a big game because the wild card, the first round matchup's either going to be Montreal or Ottawa. It looks like right now it looks like it's going to be Montreal. We'll be monitoring that.
All right.
But I found this fascinating. I heard this. So yesterday I had to go to Monumental. I taped a Beltway football draft show, which is going to be really cool. You can watch that this weekend, me and Mitch. And then I was at Cap One all evening for Channel 4. Got to talk to Leontis, and I'm just talking to a lot of people that are like really wired into the hockey world. And like, you know how it was for us as the Skins were getting into the playoff run, we had a pretty good idea like, all right, what do TV partners want? Where do we think this game will end up?
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a surprise at all that the first game was a night game. The Tampa game was a night game. The Detroit game was a night game. They knew Jaden moved the needle.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I've learned. And this isn't gospel, but you know how we've become accustomed to Caps games being the big national game on playoff times?
Yeah.
Especially like Caps Rangers, Caps Bruins, stuff like that. Apparently, the Canadian teams go at night. Like, you don't get big national games with a Canadian team in the first round, generally. That's not to say it won't happen, but I think if we're looking ahead, the playoffs could start as early as next Saturday.
Damn.
They probably will, honestly. And I, in my mind, I'm like, all right, the Caps will probably get like a Sunday afternoon slot at home. From what I'm hearing, and this is not a lock at all, but just generally what folks are saying is like, expect them to be like Sunday night or Monday night as the opener. So you're talking, if you're looking at a calendar, like the Caps' last game, regular season game, is next Thursday in Pittsburgh. Easter is that Sunday, the 20th. Like, the Caps' first playoff game could be, like, Easter Sunday night or even Monday the 21st.
Because
remember, you got so many. The first round of the NHL playoffs, you got 16 teams playing. There's a lot of games to try to figure out.
What time did that game actually start last night, though?
Dog, 7:45 puck
drop. Because I know it was, like, 8:30-something. I thought it was supposed to start at 7 or 7:30. And it was 2-0, and they still had like 3 or 4 minutes left in the first period. I'm like, what the hell happened?
So I don't know. I think it was always slated to be a 7:30 start, but then so the game was obviously on Monumental. And shout out Landfill, I learned something. Joe B was battling his voice. He was having some voice problems. Joe B didn't call the game on TV last night. I think Coke had called it.
Okay,
maybe Walton called it because Walton wasn't on the radio at least when I was driving home. Let's see, White Brian, figure out who was calling the games last night. But Joe B still did the ceremony beforehand, and I got to hear him during mic check and stuff. He sounded okay. But so I think it was slated for 7:30. Then they scheduled the ceremony, which was really cool. I mean, Ovi's family was out there. He got gifts. The kids got gifts. It was really cool. But I think the ceremony then pushed it back a little later.
Right.
So it was kind of a late game for a standard. You know, just a regular game against Carolina. But I think the best thing that's going to happen for Washington now, for the Caps, 4 games left, 2 against Columbus, then the Islanders and the Penguins. There's only 1 home game left. So if you want to get the kids to a game before prices will probably jump for the playoffs, it's got to be this Sunday at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, you're going on the road. Now, the teams they have left aren't that good. They're not playoff teams. The Penguins are definitely not a playoff team. The Islanders looks unlikely. Columbus looks unlikely. 4 games left. Getting your mind right before the playoffs. What do you think Carberry wants to see in these final four? He wants them 4-0. He wants them 3-1. Or is it more about just like getting their
hockey
right?
He wants to see the way that they play hockey is prevalent. He don't want to see them having those periods like you said, where they fall off. He just want to see that the operation of their offense, their power play, their penalty kill, all that stuff is working. And, you know, like people are not getting disinterested and just falling off without them being mentally into it at points. He gets that, and I think if he knows if he gets that, they are good enough to go out there and handle people. Again, 5-4 last night, Ovi didn't score.
Right.
That's what makes me get it cool because we know how Ovi lives up to the moments. And if you got everybody else that can still put the puck in, it's going to make him even more deadly down the stretch.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So, good win for the Caps. It was an overtime win. They clinched one seed. Sure seems like they're going to play Montreal, but a big game tonight in Canada to determine if it's Montreal or if it is Ottawa.
Does it make a difference, though?
Well, I'll tell you what makes a difference for me, personally. Montreal is considered one of the great cities in North America. It's a really cool city. I think Ottawa has the same amount of sexy attractiveness as, like, Columbus, Ohio. Like, I just don't think – I think Ottawa's like a small little government town. I'd say there's a pretty good chance I'll go on the road to cover these games for Channel 4. I want Montreal.
Lauren wants Ottawa. Hey, what the hell are you talking about how sexy it is for JP?
I mean, like –
you're going to cover the damn game.
I mean, like, culturally, like, restaurants.
I'm just saying.
John Walton called the game on TV, and there was somebody else on the radio that I was listening to. When I got home, I did watch the game, but it was a second screen. I hadn't been home to chill out with the wife for a while, so we watched Bravo. B. Mitch, I thought Bravo got the big screen last night. I had Masters replay on one, and the Caps on the other.
Gotcha.
Speaking of Masters replay, Scottie Scheffler, dude. I recognize Justin Rose is out in front, and that's great.
Well, Justin Rose is out in front a lot. He just get.
He's a really good player. I
he's
mean,
a good player,
he's done
he,
it for a long time.
He does it on the first 2 days,
right?
And then later on,
he's out there again.
He fades, man.
But he's one under.
I saw him at minus eight yesterday at one point.
He's at minus eight right now.
Okay,
he's through four holes.
He finished minus seven then yesterday.
He bogeyed 18.
Okay.
But he picked up a birdie on two today. They're off and running.
I just wouldn't want Scheffler biting in my heels.
No.
Just saying.
But, dude, I think, listen, Rory kind of choked late, which is unfortunately a pattern for him. I think, you know, Scheffler doesn't blink. Oberg looked good. DeChambeau looked good. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of football left in Augusta.
But you mean a lot of golf?
Football. But B, the absolute story of the Masters yesterday. We'll get into our pool and all the things, right? But, like, I don't know how this is going. It's kind of under the radar, I would say. I was listening to our guy Porath on his podcast this morning driving downtown. Brian, are you familiar with Jose Luis Ballester?
Heard the name before.
I believe he won the U.S. Am. I believe he won the U.S. Amateur. I'm not sure on that. He's an amateur that plays at Arizona State. Well, how do you feel about the hats with the upside-down letters on them? You know the hats I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen them.
How do you feel about those? Indifferent?
I don't really care.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about them. I can't. I want to allow people to do whatever makes them happy, but Lanfield, how do you feel about the hats with upside down lettering on them? You appreciate them? We're going to get you one. This kid Ballester, amateur, mm-hmm. Mitch, you know Amen Corner, like Ray's Creek that goes through there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, as far as exclusive places in the world, Ray's Creek, Amen Corner is probably among the most treasured, talked about places in the world.
Yeah, especially golf world.
Yeah, especially the golf world. But yeah. I'm saying the whole damn world. Do you know what my guy did yesterday?
Mm.
He took a leak in the creek with the whole tournament.
During the tournament?
Yes! Doug, I'm reading now from Yahoo Sports.
Wait. Let's backpedal a little bit. No one told him that you could run over there to one of those porta potties?
I read now from Yahoo Sports. At Augusta National, nature is an ever-present
force. Is he still playing today? They didn't kick you out of the tournament?
At Augusta National, nature is an ever-present force, but you should be very careful how you answer its call. On particularly dry days, the grounds crew at Augusta will sprinkle the property to maintain proper hydration. In the first round of the 2025 Masters, amateur Jose Luis Ballester apparently decided to do a little sprinkling of his own behind the 13th green. I completely forgot that we had those restrooms to the left of the tee box, Ballester said after completing a four-over round. I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And he went. Doug, he was playing with Justin Thomas. Like, there's a lot of people watching this.
But listen, hey, I know you're usually here. Where you go take a leak at, man? I really got to go. Porta potties, dog.
Listen.
JP, hold on. Let's just get this straight. Hold on now. Amen's Corner is probably one of the most populated places during the tournament. If we're on a golf course, you know, we take liberty on a golf course.
Sure.
But not in the area, not the hole right by the clubhouse.
Right.
So basically.
That's even us playing at Preston National.
He was by the clubhouse. And he just said, I'm going to do it right here.
I continue to read.
Oh, my Lord.
At the same time, playing partner Justin Thomas had just hit his ball out of bounds on his approach and was taking his penalty shot, giving Ballester a bit of cover. Since JT had an issue on the green, Ballester explained, I'm just going to sneak here in the river and probably people would not see me that much. The river, in fact, is a branch of Ray's Creek, and in fact, people did see him, so much so that they applauded the effort. Probably one of the claps that I got today really loud, said Ballester, so that was kind of funny. Asked if he would do it again, it was not embarrassing at all for me. If I had to do it again, I would do it again. I mean,
I think he's going to get talked to.
Oh, the Green Jackets are coming for you.
They probably talked to him last night. Look, bro, you do that one more time, you'll never play here again. And I know somebody's out there saying, well, the man had to go. They are different down there in Augusta.
They also have bathrooms.
They have bathrooms for you. But how can your caddy didn't say something?
I don't know.
Listen, man. I can understand at an amateur tournament where not many people there, you're at probably the most watched golf tournament in the world. And you just go out there when you got all those patrons. The patrons were out there. The patrons got the P word yesterday. They saw it.
Yo, I love the way different outlets put a headline on this. USA Today, Masters amateur Jose Luis Ballester urinates in Ray's Creek. CNN, golfer Jose Luis Ballester brings whole new meaning to taking relief. That's a good one. NBC Sports, Masters 2025, amateur Jose Luis Ballester admits to urinating in Ray's Creek. Yahoo Sports, I really need to pee. Amateur golfer takes relief at Amen Corner.
He was even on Amen's Corner.
I mean...
Wow, man. That's interesting, though.
Dude, so somebody sent me this headline. Like, you know how you get a million text threads with your golf buddies? So I had a text thread with a golf buddy yesterday, and this thing got sent to me with a New York Post headline, and I didn't blink because I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
You know that meme that was going around for a while when you clicked on it and it was a picture of that fella?
Yeah.
Did you ever get that one during COVID, Big Wood? I thought that was for sure a Big Wood thing. And I was like, I'm not clicking on that. Nobody's dumb enough to pee in Ray's Creek at the Masters.
Obviously they are.
Sure enough. That was.
So his dude been waiting for this opportunity to play there. He may not get another chance.
Dude, he's an am. So it's hardly a given.
It's hardly a given. We're not inviting him back.
Congrats to the Caps, one seed in the East, still very much in play for the President's Trophy. There is a lot of complicated history should Washington be the one seed, get the President's Trophy, and play an eight seed Montreal Canadiens. I don't even want to think about it. Although the Winnipeg Jets have really kind of distanced themselves. Washington has 109 points. Winnipeg is now at 112 points. Same amount. Washington's played one less game, though, so they're right there. Mm-hmm. We will all watch and see how that unfolds. Caps have four games left before the playoffs start. It's going to be a hell of a playoff run for your Washington Capitals. Now, Brian, last night I didn't get home that late, so I was able to go through the front door, which is a pleasant surprise these days. But the absolute best thing we've done at my house in the last few months is getting a new garage door. I worked with the folks at Door Pro America, and they completely changed my house. We had an old, loud, creaky, cranky, ugly garage door. And when I talked to the fellas, they said, listen, let us come out, let us check things out, and then we'll show you what all the options are. They had this really cool iPad with like 100 different Photoshop options of my garage, of possible garage doors on my house. And we got an awesome one. They brought also the app, that MyQ app, B, I think you have it too. It you could open your door anywhere. Say you got some like a worker coming to the house, you can let them in and then close them out. It's got a camera. From the MyQ technology to the, if you just need replacement, maintenance, whatever it is, or a brand new garage door like I did, call Door Pro America. These guys are experts. They helped us narrow down the options and provided an awesome recommendation based on our needs and just, frankly, what looked good at our house. Whole process couldn't have been easier. They're based locally. They've been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. They do it all, garage door and opener repairs, maintenance, or the new installs like me. They are seasoned pros, and they get it done the right way. Call today. Ask how you can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them J.P. Finley sent you, or you can check out the website, doorproamerica.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley. 106.7 The Fan. Right now, time to get on the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our friend, Mr. Ben Standing from The Athletic.
Covers Benjamin.
The Commanders. Really locks in around draft time. What up, Benny? How you doing?
Fellas, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
For sure, man. I guess we start with this Josh Johnson stuff. They got Mariota back already. Still got Hartman. I feel like it's kind of weird. What do you make of the move to acquire Josh Johnson?
Yeah, I feel like this was a little odd to me in the sense that, you know, I'm looking ahead, right? Mariota re-signed to a one-year deal, and, you know, he's getting up there a little bit. You know, he can still play, but let's just imagine he's not back next year. Who's the 2026 backup? And it felt like the third string here would be an opportunity to, you know, possibly develop somebody, whether that's Sam Hartman or a younger guy. I mean, Jeff Driscoll is not a kid, but, you know, a little bit younger guy. Josh Johnson turns 39 next month. And, you know, he's played on 100 teams. So I don't see him being the answer next year. And, you know, you already have a vet in Mariota. So, look, he's obviously a guy that's played in this league a lot. Teams trust him if they need
–
if he goes in.
It's a one-year deal, right?
Yeah, one-year deal.
Yeah.
So it just feels a little bit odd, I guess, that you went for a 39-year-old as the third string when you already have Mariota. But, you know, again, it's for this year, he's fine option, and we'll see if that plays out that he's the third guy, or unless say Sam Hartman, you know, is able to wow the coaches.
Yeah, because you have Driscoll. We'll see. It's interesting. My most relevant Josh Johnson nugget is that late in whatever year that was, they had Peterson, and 100 quarterbacks got hurt. 18, yeah, and Josh Johnson was a quarterback. They beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville. I watched him warm up in pregame warmups down on the field. Josh Johnson has an absolute rocket, not the most accurate arm, but it's strong. And I saw him, he was warming up, but these quarterbacks don't really test it that much. And he threw a ball so hard that the dude missed catching it and it went all the way down the tunnel. Like they just happened to be standing next to like where he went. The ball went all the way down the tunnel. I was like, okay.
You got a cannon.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know where it's going, but he got a cannon.
And then the next week they were in Tennessee, and Adrian Peterson almost willed them to a victory on his own. And then Johnson threw a backbreaking pick late in that game. That's when Swearinger went nuts afterwards, if anybody remembers that.
Mm-hmm.
Those were interesting times, man.
It's been some interesting times.
All right, Benny, but specifically I wanted to have you today – to talk draft. So Josh Johnson's in town. Maybe we do a Josh Johnson segment a little later, B. But I want to lean into the draft with Ben because I know how much work he puts into it. They pick 29th. Let's start here. Do you think they pick 29th?
I mean, I think ideally they would love to trade out. And I mean, Adam Peters has said as much when we spoke to him down at the owners' meeting. They only have the five picks. You know, the thing about this draft is from like, I don't even know, like say like 15 to like in the 40s, the opinions are going to vary dramatically in terms of how players are ranked because there's not viewed as much variance between them. So trading down a few spots would not only get them an extra pick or two, but also, you know, they're probably not going to miss out on a talent tier for the most part. So that's what they would like to do. Obviously, you know, it takes two to tango. Their best bet, I would think, is that the quarterback slide, you know, Shedeur Sanders, you know, not just gets past two and three, he goes like into the 20s, and not that necessarily a team would trade up, like he would be there at 29, but now maybe Jackson Dart is still on the board and the team wants to trade up, or Jalen Milroe, if this, you know, recent buzz about him possibly being in the first round is real. I think that's probably your best hope in terms of trading down. So I'll ultimately just say yes, just because the odds are there, but definitely they would love to trade down.
Man, I kind of feel like they put themselves in a position where, you know, they got a lot of these veteran players on these, like, 1 year, 2 year deals and things of that nature, to where they don't have to go after a certain position. They're put themselves in a position where they can pick best player available or go wherever they decide to go based on who's there. You see it the same way, or you think that they have to go in a certain position?
You know, it's so bizarre. Like, on the one hand, I agree with you 100%. They did a good job of covering up any perceived weaknesses to a degree, and they have a rotation, really, about every position. Like, there's no position where you're like, well, if they don't draft somebody, they are hosed. They're just lacking upside at certain spots, namely, like, edge rusher. You know, possibly they could use a corner. I think they could use more speed on offense. But, like, you know, they did enough across the board that they can kind of go best player available mode. And then you combine them picking at 29 when you don't exactly know who's even going to be there. And it makes for a very challenging situation. You know, they don't have, like I said, that screaming need. I would, you know, say edge and corner would be probably top of my list. And I think we look at the draft board, that makes a lot of sense for what's likely to be there, not just in the first round. But then if you look at the second round, that could influence what they do. But, yeah, I agree. They could – there's almost – other than quarterback, I don't know that there's a position that you could say to me, boy, they're going to draft this guy, and I would be like, well, that's weird. Anything to me would be on the table, but obviously a couple positions stand out more than others.
So I totally agree that it's obviously not going to be a quarterback. I also think it's not – one other position I think you could lock out if they pick a 29 is tight end. You bring Ertz back, you re-sign Bates, you just took Sennett. That's the only other position I think you could lock out. I think outside of that, it is BPA with a lean towards edge. I think it works well that there are edge guys available there that make a lot of sense. Standing, I need you to not rain on my parade, okay? It's raining enough outside. Even B. Mitch would call this rain outside.
Yeah.
I like the kid, Mykel Williams from Georgia, a lot. I think he's a top 10, top 15 player who's going to slide a little because he played hurt last year. Tell me he can get to 29.
Well, do you want me to tell you he can get to 29, or do you want me to not rain on your parade? What?
Tell him the truth. He can handle it. He's a grown man.
So I think, again, this is where it gets really interesting. Like, we know Abdul Carter is going to be the first edge rusher. He'll go off the board, you know, somewhere by the third pick. There's another five or six guys, maybe even a little bit more, that could go in round one. But finding any consensus on the order is really rough to look at Mykel Williams in particular. Like, there are projections where he goes, you know, 8 to Carolina or 9 to the Saints, 10 to the Bears. Damn. But he's also on the other big board, public big boards, he's rated in the 20s. And it's a similar story with guys like Shamar Stewart and Donovan Azaraku, et cetera. So I'm going to assume he's not going to be there. There does seem to be enough people out there who like his game. He was a team captain. He didn't have the best 2024 season, partly because of an ankle injury. But when you compare him side by side to Jalen Walker, another, you know, outside edge presence, who's probably also going to go high in the first round. Like he compares very favorably, but he may slip, but I don't know if I see him slipping to 29.
Yeah, and I think it's like 24.
I mean, there's just too many teams that, you know, are going to value that position. I mean, you know, we can talk about some of the other fun spots, but, you know, edge rushers cost a ton of money when you have to go sign one or extend one. So to be able to draft a guy that could help you, those guys just don't stay around. And I'd be surprised if he's there at 29.
You know it's Lions season, right?
He ain't going to make it. I know.
I've heard about that.
So a lot of these things you're starting to hear, oh, that's people trying to make you think something, and they're going to be drafting them.
He ain't getting there. But I'd like it if he did. If I know you just put out your mock on your podcast. People should check that out, listen to it. What do you have them doing at 29 right now?
So for me, this is sort of like when I do my mocks, I didn't do this on the pod, but I kind of play it out through round two because I think it's important to see not just what's there when your team picks in the first round, but, you know, there's always, you know, every team needs multiple spots. So what's available later on in the draft? Washington, we know, does not have a third round pick, so we're just looking at the top two for the most part. And, you know, edge rusher, again, they've got some, you know, they've got enough pieces to work with, but really it's not the most exciting groups, to say the least. The thing is, though, that at the end of the second round, I think there's going to be some guys still on the board, whereas corner, I think, thins out a bit earlier. And if they are high on some guys, I think Siobhan Revell from East Carolina is a really fascinating player. He had a lot of first-round buzz before he had an ACL tear last year. That's knocked him down, and also, you know, he played against, you know, lesser competition than a power conference school. But people I've talked to really are fascinated by his coverage skills. He's got good size. Press corner would fit here. He's got that dog competitor aspect that this group, that this coaching staff likes. So for me, it's like a guy like that versus, say, either a Nick Scorton at edge, who's, you know, he had 10.5 sacks as a sophomore at Purdue, was a team captain at 19. He's very competitive. Everything about him screams what Washington's looking for. He was a little bit of a down year last year stat-wise at Texas A&M, but, you know, I think he fits a lot. James Pierce, the edge rusher from Tennessee, production-wise, there's no real debate. He just piled up the stats, and he also had the fastest 10-yard split among edge rushers at the combine. That's a metric Adam Peters definitely liked. There's seemingly some questions about his football motivations, I guess you could say. I don't know. So depending on what teams think of that. But again, I just think that when you're looking at this, there's better edge rushers later in round two than corner. So I'm going corner, and right now Revell is the guy that kind of intrigues me the most.
That's really interesting. So on Beltway Football, we did our first and probably only mock draft yesterday, and I had them taking Revell, but at 61. You don't think he gets that far?
So, if you look at the public big boards, like our guy, the Athletic, Dane Brugler, put out his draft guide, The Beast, this week, and he has Revell down around 61.
That's why I thought he's a second rounder. I thought Washington could get a real player there.
And look, you know, obviously that's what I'm saying with this draft. The evaluations are all over the place. But just in talking to some people about, you know, in the league about the corner spot, whenever I bring him up, you can see, you know, I can hear it in their voice, or I can see it in their eyes, that they get pretty excited about him. It's just, again, he's a little tricky of an evaluation. He doesn't have a ton of starts in college because he kind of, you know, just a little bit of a late bloomer. He's also an older guy. He's 24, right? I mean, that's not ideal, right? If you're talking sort of long term, but, you know, so, you know, basically you're kind of thinking, what's the upside here? Has he already reached it? Whereas like other guys, maybe you're like, hey, there's still a lot more to go. But yeah, I think he's interesting. Look, they could also have in that range, Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky ran like one of the fastest 40 times at the combine. Azaria Thomas from Florida State, not the fastest corner, but excellent size and press coverage ability. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. Like, there's a bunch of corners that could be their choice at 29, but I just kind of like Revell, and I'm curious to see what they think of that, what their evaluation is.
All right, we will keep our eyes posted. Maybe we do this again before the draft, Benny. Thank you for the time, man.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
That is Ben Standig from The Athletic joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. You can check out his work at Ben Standig. We come back. Little Masters update. Fred Smoot joins us at 11.
Yeah, you can join me this weekend for the Masters Watch Party Sunday from 1 to 5 at the Muni. The Muni is an interactive golf-themed bar with golf simulators, putting greens, interactive darts, and more. Plus, you have drink specials, contest games, and more. That's this Sunday from 1 to 5 at the Muni, 1400 14th Street, Northwest.
It's a little premature to tell everybody what day it is, but at 11, I'll tell you. We'll also have Fred Smoot, who will happily oblige. All right, we got a Masters pool going. They're off and running in Augusta. Justin Rose is leading, but giving some back. I kind of expect him to give a lot back.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. As for the boys.
Who's in last place?
Me, by a lot. Damn. My first two picks crushed me, Morikawa and Rahm.
Don't worry, man. You're going to be okay.
Russell Henley is really who screwed me.
Ah, man.
Are we dropping one low score? Didn't we agree to that?
No.
I thought we did.
We never.
So we're dropping the worst score from every team, right?
Fake news.
We never said that.
I think we're dropping
it. It's amazing.
It.
You know what? You're starting to remind me of Bees and Brendan. You should become a Bee because they always come up with different rules as the game go on to benefit them. And you do that all the time, too.
You would still be in last place even if you got rid of Henley. You realize that, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it'd be a lot closer. I'm currently 17 strokes behind White Bryan. Also, can we address the elephant in the room? White Bryan just cheated. He was taking dudes that were under par during the draft.
We never told him he couldn't.
I know, but he's a cheater.
My two best golfers weren't ones that were golfing when we drafted.
All right, so let's go through it. White Bryan is in first place. He took Joaquin Niemann, Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland and Brian Harman. Harman and Hovland are each one under par. Neiman's even, and Åberg is four under, giving White Bryan a total of 282.
Mm.
Second place, Professor Landini. He took Scheffler, good pick. Schauffele, one over. Shane Lowry, one under.
Chalk.
And Tommy Fleetwood, one over. Tied for, I suppose, third, Brian Mitchell and Jeff Walker.
Yeah,
Jeffrey had the number one pick, took Rory McIlroy, who was cruising right until he wasn't. 15's a bear. The double on 17 was bad.
Mm.
Rory, even par. Bryson DeChambeau shot a 69. Jeff, you like that number?
Hey, yo.
Brooks Koepka, two over par. Patrick Cantlay, even par. Jeff's in the door at 289.
Cantlay.
Brian Mitchell took JT, who was all over the place. Now, generally, to your credit, B, when JT opens with one of these all over the place scrambling rounds,
he comes back on fire.
The next day, he's on fire. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah.
Batia, who, did you watch any of him? Last night, I watched all the highlights.
I saw a little bit of it.
That dude is wild. Like, he hits some wild-ass shots.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch.
He can smash it, though.
He can smash it. He can put it in the trees. He can chip from anywhere. Like, it's a wild ride with that dude.
Yeah.
BS, JT.
He kind of plays like you. No, I'm joking.
With that, no. JT, Batia, Willie Z, Zalatoris, and Sahith Theegala, 289. And then I'm 299. I mean, I'm 10 strokes back of B.
Yeah.
Who's tied for third.
Yeah.
I had Morikawa, John Rahm, Russell Henley, and Hideki Matsuyama. The way our pool is set up, if somebody misses the cut, they take an 80 on Saturday and Sunday. If Russell Henley doesn't go low today, I presume I need him at like 68.
Yeah. He's probably going to shoot probably 81.
I mean, I could be completely cooked.
It's very possible, Jay.
Now, the Masters...
The question I would ask is, why did you pick him?
Well, I think I picked the wrong dude. I wanted Harris English.
Hold on. Russell Henley, Harris English. How do you make that mistake?
Brian, I find myself able to do lots of things. Now, the Masters does have the most generous cut rules because it's top 50. My guy's in second to last place, though. Damn.
That place that you were at before, remember that?
Nick Dunlap is the Matt Valdez of this tournament. Did you see this dude Dunlap yesterday, B? Are you familiar with his work?
Nope.
Dog, he shot a 90.
Wait. He's a pro golfer?
He's a pro golfer.
And he shot 90 in a tournament?
He shot a 90.
Is his first time playing Augusta?
I don't know that, but you want to know something even more remarkable?
What?
He shot a 90 without a single three putt.
Wait. So this dude was getting on the greens when? Like line five or six?
Yeah.
Dude, how do you shoot a 90 and don't have a three putt? Did he have a four putt?
I don't believe so.
So it's all two putts.
He's 21 years old. He's the first player in a decade to shoot a 90, the first under the age of 38 to shoot a 90.
I bet you if we go in there and let my man All Black, always wears All Black. We talk
Gary
about
Player?
Let Gary Player go play. He won't shoot it. He'll shoot his age or better.
He has clearly lost it. Like, he can't.
He's going to miss a cut.
Yeah.
He can't come back.
He shot a 90.
If he goes today and shoot 59, he probably, that's the only thing that'll help him.
I don't know that.
But we know that's not happening.
I don't know that anything's helping him at that point. Russ Henley, let's get a 66, buddy. When we come back, Fred Smoot joins the program.
Looking for something to do? Come join me tomorrow for a Masters watch party at this Sunday. On Sunday, join me from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Muni. The Muni is an interactive golf-themed bar with golf simulators, putting greens, and interactive darts and more. Plus drink specials, contests, games, and more. That's this Sunday from 1 to 5 at the Muni, 1400 14th Street, Northwest.